As we were building up to the excitement that is DigiCon, we clearly were delighted to be able to feature for her first radio debut on Siren FM for both Parsec and indeed the Midweek Drive, the legend that is Sam Stone. Sam, we'll meet in person and you're looking absolutely amazing.
Thank you so much, Alex. It's great to meet you for the first time.
Oh, yeah. I've got this wonderful lanyard, which I always like to describe as a bit like the Paddington Bear thing, that if lost, sort of sends to the London Boat Show. But that was another event, really.
I must be getting quite confusing. It starts to blur one after another eventually, doesn't it?
Well, I say that, and as I was mentioning to David earlier, obviously tomorrow about 60 student scripts to be marked. It's all good, but still, never mind.
Yes.
Now, you do get a hold there. I've just obviously done the interview with Shane Rimmer, and it's fascinating being on this side, obviously, of the dealer's table, the celebrity table, if you like. It's almost the celebrity line that we're actually on here, sir.
Yes, we're certainly we're in this line with the wonderful Peter Davison, who is a really marvellous man, the very, very sexy Paul McGann. I can't say the word Paul McGann without putting the word sexy in there, I'm sure. And we've got this beautiful lady, Josephine, who's next to us, who's from Game of Thrones. It's quite a line.
Absolutely. Well, we looked over, sort of do our usual portfolio of interviews. David, of course, introduced us to Peter Davison. That was marvellous from that perspective. And, of course, there was the Graham Harper connection. Now, let's talk a bit about Sam Stone. I'm looking at the Vampire Gene trilogy. I'm looking at, obviously, Cat on a Hot Tin Airship, which is fantastic.
So, the latest one. What's Dead Pussycat is the latest one.
There are those of us who are chronologically gifted who will actually make that immediate connection with Tom Jones.
Yes,
others,
yes.
Just check it out on YouTube.
Well, I keep saying to everyone who's a lot of people are reading the Cat Lightfoot books are of a certain generation and don't remember some of these films that I'm kind of pastiching inside the books. And I'm always saying to people, just look for it. Watch the film first and then read the book and you'll get a whole different experience, I think, to have it. You will still enjoy it if you just read the book, but I think you would get a lot more out of it if you do.
It's like the layers of an onion, or as we like to say to it in literary theory, deeper meanings of intertextuality.
Absolutely.
Anyway, apart from that, I never thought I'd actually be citing that at the science fiction event. What are your thoughts of the Doncaster Racecourse as a host, obviously, as location that Ash has put together for DigiCon?
Well, it's a big venue, and it certainly seems to be, right now, very packed. So it seems like an ideal venue.
It's very good. And you've obviously travelled up from Lincolnshire today, which is always very exciting. In the not-too-distant future, you'll be hopefully joining us live in the studio for a full midweek drive, as opposed to just being a telephonic link person.
Certainly, and I hope to not let you down this time and be there.
All works splendidly.
All the best laid plans.
let's talk just a little bit about your role as commissioning editor for Telos, because obviously a wide range of stuff that's actually there. Are you impressed with the quality of submissions that you get? Because sometimes when we speak to commissioning authors, they tend to vary from yes, it's fantastic, or we're all doomed, the world's become illiterate.
No, I think there's a variety, to be honest. I think any editor would tell you that you get some work that is really exceptional, you get some that's sort of okay, and then you get some that it's an immediate no, unfortunately, you know. And part of that is just lack of experience sometimes with the writer who's submitting it in the first place, don't quite submit in the right way. And one thing I would say to any aspiring writers who are going to submit to any editors is check out the guidelines and do exactly what they say, because unfortunately editors are so busy that if they get a submission, not necessarily myself because I will still look, but some of them won't even look if it's not in the format that they've asked for. And you know, so, and it also shows that you can take instruction. And editors work with authors, so, I mean, I'm an author in my own right, I have to work with other editors. And it's an interesting process, and you think of it as a collaborative art. You know?
And in the words of Galaxy Quest, never give up, never surrender, I suppose. As J.K. Rowling will attest to, even though you might not succeed with one publishing house, there might be others that actually do match exactly what you're looking for.
I think if somebody has the shall we say, the wherewithal to actually sit down and write a novel. It may not be the best novel in the world, the first one. I wrote one that I have in a drawer that will never see the light of day, that I wrote for my very first time in 1993.
A missing Sam Stone manuscript, an untold treasure.
It's horrible. I've looked at it recently and it really is terrible. It's atrocious. And everybody's got to start somewhere. And I think the thing is to just keep writing, because the more you do it, the better you get. And always, always submit. But don't expect that the very first thing that you ever write will be. Unlike Stephen King, who is probably the only person I know that's ever done that.
Or was it Richard Bachman? We never know.
Might well have been. Doppelganger.
Exactly. Different dimension, different field, etc. Sam, it's been fantastic just touching base today. As I say, the sort of assembled team are actually sort of wandering around. Do you get a chance to actually have a wander around yourself? Because obviously we caught up with you earlier when you were sort of speaking to the Bristolian legend that is the Green Cross Code Man. Sorry, Dave Prowse, I know, it's Darth Vader, but what the heck?
Yeah, Dave, I love Dave. I see him at quite a lot of these events. I think I said to you the other day that, that it is sort of a bit of a family, so most definitely I always make an effort to go out and have and say hello to those people that I've seen at many of these things, to have a chat with them, give them a hug. You know, it's always great to see them again.
It's great stuff. In a few moments we'll be hopefully sort of take part in the official on location photo shoot, and I'll actually be bringing out our station mascot, Sam, so it's an interesting line for that. You'll see it on facebook.com/Southside Broadcasting. Game of Thrones is clearly one of the most classic sort of routines. In fact, it's one of the shows which has actually got me on one knee now, speaking to the next wonderful celebrity who's actually here, and we're now speaking to
Josephine Gillen. My character name is Mireille in Game of Thrones.
Now, this is something, Josephine, which has opened up a whole range of sort of aspects, because there are those of us who would actually say Game of Thrones, yes, it's full science fiction stuff, etc., and there are others who say it's fantasy. As somebody who's one of the stars of the whole thing, where would you pitch it?
It's definitely fantasy. It's a lot of it is not real, including the sex scenes, which people might think are real.
But I think it was a reality TV documentary. Unbelievable.
But I mean, there's a lot of bad things in it. I mean, there's sex, there's incest, there's violence, and
typical day in Doncaster. Sorry, Doncaster.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, no one is actually hurt in the making of the film, or brutally raped, or you know, all of that sort of stuff. It's all definitely fantasy. Dragons aren't real.
You heard it here first, folks. In terms of your own appreciation, had you read the George R. R. Martin piece beforehand, or was it just a case of, well, I'm a jobbing actress, it's another job?
No, I hadn't read the books, and then I just applied for the part, and like, I didn't have a casting. They just said perfect straight away because of my look. I've got that typical like Irish
stunning
look.
I think stunning.
Oh, thank you. It's the Irish look, you know, the Celtic look. And yeah, then I haven't been killed off. I've been in it for season 2, season 3, season 4, and I'm going to be in season 5.
You've survived the Sean Bean experience, clearly.
Yeah, definitely. I think that just as long, the only person that's the same length as me is the main character of the blonde hair. Yeah.
Well, there you are. It's fantastic stuff. Now, how many of these Comic-Con things have you actually done so far? Because it's a whole new field, as I'm just discovering from my own point of view.
Well, same. It's my second one, because I didn't know these things existed, and I didn't know that I could make any money from being in Game of Thrones. I thought it was just Game of Thrones.
Just by being you, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, I didn't realise that I could, this existed, so it's all new to me, and I've got a few more lined up for this year. So
genuinely fantastic. Do you want to plug ahead? Where can we actually see you in terms of on tour within the United Kingdom?
I'm going to be in Wales Comic Con in April and Edinburgh Comic Con in April as well.
And do you have a website so people can actually sort of update and find various other bits and pieces about your good self?
No, I don't, but I'm on Twitter, and it's at official Mireille.
There we are, sorted through. It's a genuine delight. Take care. I think a whole range of sort of folk are desperately waiting to do that, to take photographs of you being interviewed, which is quite surreal. Many thanks indeed.
All right, thank you very much. Take care.
Now, hopefully, we will be speaking to the organiser, Ash, before too long, but he is, as you'll appreciate, extraordinarily busy. But the legends continue to just emerge literally every side of this artistic corridor. Lee Bradley is a name that just sort of stands out as magical, wonderful creativity. And guess what? Lee Bradley is actually with us now. Lee, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much.
I'm looking at this wonderful sort of montage you've got here with Stan Lee in full centre there. I'll just see how many I can see for my geek credentials here. We've got Goliath, the original Goliath, with Hank Pym in the background there.
Yes, that's right.
We've got Vision, obviously, the original, even an android can cry. Obviously the classic Spider-Man, Wanda the Scarlet Witch, Janet Van Dyne in her wasp outfit, Prince Namor the Submariner, Hercules, I think. We've got, obviously, the original Hawkeye, Clint Barton there, Captain America, Iron Man.
Fan here, I can tell.
Is it coming across?
Yes.
Luke Cage, Iron Man there, of course. Ant-Man.
Do you know,
I suspect it's one of the Jack Kirby Eternals creations.
No, it's actually Quasar. Yeah. Formerly Marvel Boy. Yeah. It's the one that everybody gets stuck on. But the fact that you knew most of them was a refreshing change.
Thank you, Lee. There we are, you see. And I think, and just tucked behind there, we also have Hellcat and Quicksilver also tucking in there, with the Enchantress and Loki, of course, there. Listen, Marvel, obviously, one of the key leaders. It's gone through a whole range of things there. We are in the Marvel age. We're in the DC age. As a comic artist and creator, this must be a golden age, surely?
For me, yes. I mean, there's so much work in relation to the comics books now, and it's blown up, it's become part of popular culture, whereas it was, although people knew about it, it was underground in the sense that people didn't accept it as an art form, whereas it's kind of transcended being an art form now, and you see it in everyday life, whether it's kids wearing t-shirts or even girls wearing clothes that they wouldn't have dreamed of wearing.
Well, it's astounding. And certainly, yes, you're quite right. I mean, there are a number of years ago, you could have mentioned names like Steranko, names like Neil Adams, clearly Jack Kirby, etc. And you might have had some blank looks. But even, I mean, Steranko, a relatively small output. I think basically only 2 or 3 years of really proactive stuff for Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Marvel sort of universe still creates that impact.
Yes, I think it's because it's almost like brands within a brand. He's got a type of look to his artwork, and he's a character. You know, I think that's why Stan Lee has stood out for so long. You know, people agree, disagree on the merits of Stan, but he's a character, and without him, we wouldn't be where we are today. I think that's the thing.
So it would be remiss of us here, as we're at Doncaster Racecourse, not to mention obviously the British sequence, etc., and obviously the growth of Battle Action 2000 AD and so on. Any artists from Britain, other than obviously yourself, that you've been particularly interested or influenced by? I mean, obviously, yes, actually, that Dave Gibbons is quite a talented chap.
I think I've heard of him. Yes, for me, growing up, it was people like Jeff Senior, even Lee Sullivan, who's just over there. Their work on Transformers, it was really quite big and bold and powerful. I think it was their style meeting the type of toys at the time worked so well. Those are probably my influences.
And more and more people are talking about going online with comics. From your own work, do you do stuff for online stuff? Do you still prefer, as you're doing now, a fantastic sort of line? Is that lower? We're working on...
It's actually Jazz from Transformers. It's a requested sketch. It's one of the more awkward-looking Transformers, but it's getting there.
Maybe he's in pain. That's the key. It's pain as he's transforming. That's the key thing.
I wouldn't like to comment.
But again, from my point of view, do you have a website? Can people access your work and obviously contact you if they're not at the event?
It's quite simple. It's www.leebradley.com.
Really quite simple.
Lee, it's been fantastic touching base with your good self. Hopefully we'll hook up again in the very near future.
Okay. Yeah, pleasure to meet you too.
And from our comic book artists, we move to two fantastic comic book creations, proving that when it comes to cosplay, you cannot beat Harley Quinn and the Joker. Harley, also known as...
Beth.
And the Joker, also known as...
Philip.
There you are, you see. I thought for a moment you were going to say, Jack Nicholson, obviously. What the hey? Philip, we'll come to your good self. Your thoughts on Digicon?
We haven't been here long, but it's been pretty good so far, yeah.
Okay, it's always wonderful. It's like, as I say, if we could have only had Dave Prowse talking in his original accent as Darth Vader, as a Bristolian, it's wonderful. We had the Joker speaking with a Yorkshire accent. It's great. From your own point, I say Harley, because you were sort of there for that point of view, why have you gone for the sort of the Harley Quinn borderline psychotic approach today in terms of the aspect?
She's my favourite, really. So
not Poison Ivy?
No, she's lovely, but I prefer Harley.
Right, okay.
I like the madness.
Well, there you go. And how far have you come to the Doncaster Digicon today?
From Leeds.
So, yeah, I mean, I'd say it's a reasonable routine. I mean, having just come down from Middlesbrough, I thought, well, that's fairly okay. Until, of course, they decided to shut the A1 and M situations. But there we are. Are you regular cosplayers?
I started about 4 years ago, off and on. But recently, this last year, I've been getting into it a bit more. Going to more conventions.
Okay, and are you a willing cosplayer, or have you been sort of saying, what the hey? What's been your sort of journey into the wonderful world of fantasy?
I got roped into it about a year ago, and I'm just a bit addicted now.
That's a common theme. We hear it sort of regularly, and it's very good for that point of view. So, I mean, there are lots of these events that are obviously taking place now. I mean, we've got an event, hopefully, on May the 6th at the University of Lincoln that's going to be a sort of one-day package, but obviously you've got the bigger events as well. Where will you be heading off to after Doncaster's Digicon?
In March, there's London Super Comic Con, which we're going to for a couple of days.
And is that at the MCM XL? Or the XL?
It's XL, yeah.
where they had a boat show yesterday and still actually have it on today. It's astounding. Listen, guys, fantastic, touching base with your good self. Enjoy the rest of the show. Who knows, we might hook up at another convention, particularly if you're dressed in the same routine, because otherwise if you take the disguises off, I won't know who you are.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
The talent that actually regularly sort of exists at these events consistently amazes me. This is just, I would say, a relative novice to these routines. I'm now delighted to be able to speak to
Liz Cayley.
Liz, you seem to be doing some absolutely magical, bespoke, designed wooden boxes here. Just talk to us what you're doing and why you've written Joshua on one of them.
Ah, it's called pyrography, which is the art of burning pictures, images into wood. And I basically freehand draw all the designs on myself and personalise them, included in the price on the day. So this is for a little boy called Joshua.
And it's got a minion on the other side. Yep. Wonderful. You see, proving at least I can recognise things from that perspective.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, you're here ideally positioned because you're kind of the first exhibitor that people see as they sort of begin to enter the actual hall. Your thoughts on the event itself?
It's a really well set up event. It looks really great. I've been around everybody else's stall and, yeah, it's really good. It's the first time I've done a DigiCon here, so it's all new to me as well, really. So, yeah, so far, so good.
So it's hats off to Ash, obviously, yeah, and the rest of the organisers. Great stuff there. Do you have a website? Can people actually find your details online as well?
I certainly do.
We'll find it in a few seconds, I'm sure, if he's all sorted through there, as he just sort of looks for the various other bits and pieces. The assistant is coming good as ever here. And
right.
I see Liz Cayley, Twisted Firestarter. You're a Firestarter? No, Twisted Firestarter, sorry. I was having a sort of moment from the 90s there,
yeah,
Liz, excuse me.
That's where I got that from. That's my era.
It's burningsensations.co.uk, and absolutely fantastic pyrography in all sorts of ways. Genuine, brilliant stuff, and I can attest to the fact there's a range of wealth of material there. Will you be actually on various other conventions as well?
Yes, we're going to be at Cosplay at Magna. It's on the 7th of...
Assistant once again comes to the assistant here. It's the Yorkshire Cosplay on the 4th of April 2015 at Magna in Rotherham. So fantastic stuff. Who would have thought Rotherham would be hosting a cosplay event? Fantastic. Listen, quick name check for the assistant. Your name is?
Karen Brown.
There we are. Karen, who wasn't going to say anything, but she has. So great stuff there. Another result. Liz, fantastic touching base with good self.
I'd be lost without her. Thank you very much. Very good to talk to you. Cheers.
So they may not have a Sunseeker at the Doncaster Racecourse for DigiCon, but they have got a Fairy Tale Princess and a whole range of things. We're now speaking to...
I'm Francesca Rubig and I own Disney-esque Princess Parties. We have a range of different princesses that go to our different children's parties and events, ranging from storybook to action for everything that the girls and boys would like for their party.
Well, I think you can be the princess of everybody's dream. Now, I'm going to show my lack of Disney street credibility here, because it's we're not in Frozen era princess here, are we?
We don't have any that are strictly Disney. We have our own princesses from all different storybooks.
So,
but this one is a classic Cinderella story.
Classic Cinderella, of course. I should have known, obviously, from that point of view. And a few name checks for you, the fine team that you've actually got here, because we've got a quartet of quality here. Would you like to introduce your fellow team members here?
So this is Sue, Thomas, and our fairy princess.
Okay, Sue, how are you?
Hello, I'm fine, thank you.
Okay, Thomas, are you well?
I'm very well, thank you.
You presumably are Prince Charming, then?
Oh, definitely, all the way.
Okay, and other fairy tale princess, how are you? How are you?
I'm lovely, thank you.
So, I mean, you've got everything sort of geared up in this particular way. I mean, this looks... I mean, I should be getting in touch with my feminine side here, clearly. But in terms of the sort of princess, what kind of drew you into this particular field?
Every little girl wants to be a princess when she grows up, and perfect way to do it.
Well, there you go. So the ubiquitous sort of princess there, and obviously the quintessential Cinderella is already being booked for a photo shoot at this particular moment in time. Looking at, obviously, Disney-esque, which I like the line there, Disney-esque princess parties from that point of view, just talk to us about what the company... I mean, do you turn up for parties and basically sort of put in appearances? What's the official line?
There are a lot of parties done. There's appearances as well. It's whatever is wanted. Princess's duty is to help her people, so...
I've got to ask the question. When you were... you may well still be at school, but when your careers advisor effectively turned around and said, what would you like to be? Did you sort of say, right, I'd like to be a bespoke Disney-esque princess person?
Yeah, you get a few funny looks, but it's expected.
Well, there you go. I can see university degrees manifesting all sorts of things, etc. What do you do when you're actually not being a Disney princess?
I'm still at school, so
I was right. Yeah, exactly. Fine, exactly. So is it GCSEs one day and then A-levels the next?
It's A-levels at the moment and then hopefully university. And
which one?
Hallam.
Oh, if you said University of Lincoln, I would have said fantastic choice, but never mind. Great stuff. Listen, good meeting with you, good self.
I really wasn't at the University of Lincoln. She is at the University of Lincoln now.
Well, there we are. So am I. We'll find that through. Listen, a web address. How can people get in touch with Disney-esque princess parties? Of course, it's www.disneyesque.co.uk. And, of course, Enchanting Princesses to host the most perfect party. Singing, telling story plays. It's fantastic. Sue, many thanks indeed.
Thank you very much.